Good morning.
Good morning.
What a wonderful thing it is to have the choir here today. Give them some love. And Miss Betty Brentley, double duty on piano and choir directing. And our wonderful balance of our Richard Payne trio, Rodney and Roderick. Yay. And welcome everybody who is out there in virtual land, and welcome everybody who is here in person. It is wonderful to see you all. When I first started thinking about this topic, which is passionately purposed, blatantly balanced, I thought about myself. And although I am a descendant of indigenous people, I don't always identify that way. But as I remembered, tomorrow is Indigenous Peoples Day, I realized that our history is filled with perseverance, survival, and a deep commitment to and in our heritage. There is also a devout commitment to our land that indigenous people have. And yeah, it's not merely a place of birth, but an aspect of our family to be revered. Are y'all hearing the echo? Okay. So I want to give honor to Piscataway and Anacostian peoples whose ancestral homelands make up Washington, D.C., who lived in the area for 13,000 years before European colonization. And the ancestors of the Nakachtank or Anacostians and the neighboring Piscataway and Pamunkey peoples. And there was a palpable passion for the land, for the perpetuation of the peoples, for tradition, for the presence of God. So much so that the presence of God is acknowledged in every life form, vegetable, mineral, animal, that sacredness, while maintained by some, is often in the shadow of greed, profit, and self-serving ambition. But when you are passionately purposed, as I am, you are in tune with that which drives you. And when you are passionately purposed to truth, you continue to find it even when you're seeking something else. For instance, Spirit told me to pick up Paul Farini's book early this morning. And I discovered something about myself that I need to remedy. Flipping through the pages, I realized this section called The Tyranny of Agreement. I realized how I constantly seek agreement, and how rare it is to experience love without conditions. Uh-oh. He said the cause of all human conflict is a simple one. Each one dehumanizes the other. Each side sees the other as less worthy. Now, peace doesn't come through the agreement of egos, for it is possible for egos to agree. peace comes when love and mutual respect are present. Ow, again. And he may or may not have mentioned it because it's been a while since I read the whole book. But I have withheld love and I have withheld respect when I was in conflict. I know y'all don't do that. Probably the people you work with, I don't know. Now, for someone who thinks she's devoted to love, that's an eye-opener. To be here for God, as my agape family self says, I have veered off course. I have abandoned my covenant as a practitioner to love unconditionally. Sometimes it's hard. Now, for me to be blatantly balanced, I am compelled to remedy this so I can remain passionately purposed. I have even refused to attend certain meetings because of my intolerance to disagreement. And while my focus was on their unworthiness, I missed seeing how my intolerance makes me unworthy. There it is. Even using the word tolerance without saying it was dehumanizing. If you ever accuse me of being intolerant before now, I would deny it. But because I am passionately devoted to correcting this, I shall. While we are possessed with election conversations, I have realized that a more important conversation is going on, which has been suppressed by personalities and positioning. And believe it or not, we are in an interspiritual age. We have an ecological awareness, and now we acknowledge the fragility of the earth. Well, duh. Right? We have a growing sense of the right of the species. We are recognizing the interdependence of all life. We know we must abandon militant nationalism because of our interdependence with other nations. The United Nations is a wonderful concept. And yet, there are parties within that organized group who are at war. I'm not trying to suggest that we rename that organization. However, let's pray for them. We who attended the Parliament of World Religions are not the only ones who know community between other religions through individuals. I'm sure you have friends who are of other faiths. I'm sure that you don't disrespect the way that they choose to worship. And somehow, some way, we have the audacity to think that our religion is better than theirs. We have the audacity to think that they've got it wrong. We have the audacity to think that there are people who do not look like us, who do not have any moral integrity. We have the audacity to think that there are people of our same gender that are not awake and aware of the sanctity of our bodies. And so I just want us to be understanding about what it means to be passionately purposed. I am a passionate person. And that means I am diligent. I care about stuff. Sometimes my passion comes out in angry tones. And sometimes my passion comes out in mass love. And I know that we all have passion within us. And in order to keep the passion aligned with the purpose, we have to stay awake and be intentional. Can you say be intentional? Yeah. Because sometimes we get so caught up in the passion that we forget that we are the presence. And because of our passion, we ignore other people's passion if it's not aligned with the mindset that we have. I'm sure you've not had any kind of loud conversations about who should be president. I'm sure that you have not had any loud conversations about which party is better. Our institutions are not raising people to their potential because personality has taken precedence over purpose. And so the purpose is to represent the highest and best for the people in their jurisdiction. We are constituents. And our needs and our wants and our safety and our joy are to be at the forefront of the awareness of the people who are in power with benefits forever and lots of big money. And so we have yet to realize as a people the fulfillment of the vision that we claim to share. Let's just start with life and liberty. We may be pursuing happiness in our heads, but have yet to realize it in our hearts. Since this is an inalienable right for all Americans, my happiness and your happiness are intertwined. But liberty includes responsibility. And responsibility means taking care of someone or something. That includes ourselves, hello, our family, our church, our city, our state, our nation, the planet. And I know that seems like a lot to be responsible for, and yet it is what we say when we pledge allegiance. It is what we say when we are praying about forgive us or forgive our trespasses or bless them, unless you're saying it in a facetious way. You know how we do, right? And there is an opportunity here. I am teaching the course, Howard Thurman, Mysticism and Social Justice, starting this week. And I have always been fascinated by this man. His level of commitment is unshakable. His level of clarity is beyond anyone's expectations. And he says this in his book, Jesus and the Disinherited. The fact is, in any great struggle between groups in which the major control of the situation is on one side, the ethical question tends to become merely academic. The advantage group assumes that they are going to be fooled if it is possible. There is no expectation of honesty and sincerity. They know that every conceivable device will be used to render effective the advantage which they have inherited in the position as the strong. The pattern of deception by which the weak are deprived of their civic, economic, political, and social rights without its appearing that they are so deprived is a matter of continuous and tragic amazement. And he goes on, but it's clear that this is not the kind of thing that Jesus the Christ was talking about when he said, love one another as yourself, right? I think that the intention is to do to someone what you would have done unto you. And although we do that in war, I don't think that's what Jesus was talking about. And so there is in Job this line that says, let me be weighed in an even balance that God may know my integrity. And I just was noticing how often there are references in the Hebrew Bible, also known as the Old Testament, that have to do with weighing things, that have to do with balance. And it's interesting to note that that which has value does not necessarily have the greatest weight. And yet, the perception that is represented by Job and other Hebrew Bible writers is that the character of the person determines their weight. And that the greater the character, the greater the weight. And I said, how about that? Go ahead, God. Because so much of the conversation seems to be about not what one is, but what one has. And the conversation is currently what they will do and not necessarily on what they want to do. Because that requires a certain level of humility, that requires a certain level of meekness, if you will, because I'm thinking of a Sermon on the Mount. If you can know that this is something that we are going to strive for, but to not present yourself as being the only one who can achieve it without question. Because when we do that, we eliminate the possibility of getting help from everybody else. And it takes all of us. Example in Psalms was very interesting to me. It says, surely men of law of low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are a lie to be laid in the balance. They are altogether lighter than vanity. There's an assumption that because you have a certain credential or a certain economic status, that you are of a high degree. However, the vanity may be really the weight that they are carrying. And so the opportunity here is to be humble enough or considerate enough to be balanced, to want to be absolutely purposeful, but to also understand that it takes all of us to do this together. I want us to really be with this idea about passionately purposed. I can tell you that anything that I have embarked upon, that I have done it with passion. Whether it be a relationship or whether it be a production or whether it be a ministry or whether it be a writing of some kind, a poem. Because for me, that is when I'm feeling fully alive. And when I'm feeling fully alive, it is the presence of God that I am awakened to. It is the presence of God that is awakening me. It is the presence of God that wants to reveal itself by means of me. So I get to get out of the way. I get to get out of the way and let it move through me. Now, some may perceive it as me being a bulldozer, and that does happen, but it's not out of any kind of malice. It is because of a passion that I have to see this thing through, a passion that I have to be a blessing, a passion that I have to reveal the truth as I know it. And if that comes through something that I write, that's a wonderful thing. And if that comes through something which I produce, that's a wonderful thing, because the intention is always for the highest and best good for all concerned. And so as I looked at the different scripture that I was familiarizing myself with as I went through this process of downloading and revealing, I was reminded that there is just too much barbarism in the Hebrew Bible that is something that makes me understand why it is that we're having these problems in the Middle East. Because I would say for years, I don't understand why people are warring in the Holy Land. And then when I read some parts of the Bible, it's like they've been doing this for a long time. And so that's quite a big habit to break out of centuries. But everything starts with a thought, yes? And so the divine idea for us may be to send not just thoughts and prayers, but the energy of love. If we can send the energy of love to the eastern part of the planet, that would be a wonderful blessing for the planet. And I'm knowing that God, as you, is able, and that when we are passionately purposed, that we can absolutely change things from the way that they have been to the way that God intended. But what I've discovered as a Libra about being blatantly balanced is that we are often out of balance. And the perception of other people is that we are always balanced, but if you notice, the scales are not necessarily always equal. And so it requires us to be able to surrender at some times, and it requires us to make our presence known in big ways in other times. And so I want to share a piece with you, and then I'll say more about that in a moment. And this is from my book, In Spirit, In Love. I'm currently recording the audiobook for this. And it's wonderful visiting it after having written it like over 18 years ago. It's called Supreme Love. What a wonderful opportunity to smell the fragrance of my union with God. A couple of years ago, a holiday trip to visit my family brought many gifts. My growth, my process, and my seeds of light were revealed through me. The ride from the airport revealed how critical my roots are. God as compassion revealed that there are wonderful aspects of everyone to be celebrated from different ethnic backgrounds. God loves me so much that God showed me my own impatience through my relatives' impatience with different ethnic groups or with traffic. It felt violent, but it was a wonderful opportunity to show me my relative as my teacher and my role as healer. And God didn't stop there. Joy of a family member laying eyes on me allowed me to see the light of God in her. How wonderful it is to receive the abundant love of God, the greatest gift. I attended a Catholic church this particular Christmas Eve, and I remembered the ritual of my youth. It was then that I came to realize, after 4 decades, what they had been trying to make me believe as a youth. It was all so simple, but it used to be complicated. The story of a young man's givingness to his family was illustrated as the love of Christ. Spreading the incense was less mysterious. I clearly knew that he was honoring this divinity, the sacred space, and all of us. How great to know the intention of purity and honoring spirit within all. How good to know the real intent of communion is not to feel worthy, but to know there is constant communion. The fellowship of church is an opportunity to embrace God in each other. How wonderful to see the honoring of the Holy Family. How good it is to know the honor of every family just being together as God's divine plan. I honor the spirit within me and the spirit within each person, for God is revealing itself through our communion. Passionately purposed. Passion is about love. Love is our purpose. Blatantly balanced means sometimes it's not just about me, but about thee. And all the time, it's about how I represent God, or if I am not representing God. And for me, I am knowing that there is always a time for me to have a balanced conversation with myself to say, you need to reveal more of what you talk about. And so I invite all of us to be passionately purposed and blatantly balanced. Namaste.